Beautiful people, Bobby the Awesome here. As many of you know, two things about me. One, I just opened a non-alcoholic bottle shop, is what they call it, but it's basically like a liquor store with no liquor. Because, as you know, the second thing about me is I would love everyone to be emotionally, physically, spiritually, and mentally healthy. This is in perfect alignment with using natural, helpful ways to take care of ourselves in all those facets. Here's one example. I drink too much cream in my coffee. Well, one of the products in the store is a moment, it's like a hot chocolate with wonderful cinnamon and nutmeg in it. And it has gotten me off of my 3 to 4 cup coffee habit by drinking this 15 calorie beverage every day instead of coffee. Whether you're looking to alternate or cut back on regular drinking of alcohol but have great flavor profiles, or want to drink something out of a sexy glass, or whether you're completely not drinking drinks that have things with antioxidants, brighten our mood, improve our digestive system, help us with brain fog. There's so many options, and they don't have to be drugs, traditional drugs. They can be just beautiful, good for us, things our bodies crave and need. So I am happy to announce that my online store, so you don't have to be here in Naugatuck, Connecticut. You can be anywhere in the country, in the US. You can shop as if you're in my store. You can customize what you want to order. You can order one of this, 10 of that. We're going to ship for free on orders over $50. There's many different alternatives in this space, and they taste so delicious. Everybody's taste is different, but there's a taste for every profile. Check out the selection. It's getting added to you every single week. Check out 321nokidding.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for checking us out. I love you, beautiful people. And now let's get started with today's show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to 321 No Kidding, our special sip series. I am Bobby the Awesome, and today I am joined by Mylon Martin, founder and CEO of one of my favorite drinks, the Free Spirit line. Welcome to 321, Mylon.
It's really nice to be here, and good to spend time with you. I'm excited about it.
Me too. Part of my whole mission is about play, in addition to no alcohol, no gambling, no kids, but I want adults to play again. And I really resonate with your brand because I think that you get that. And I didn't even know that until I learned more. Your flavors are just amazing and home runs with guests. So that's why I'm so excited.
I mean, that's kind of what cocktails are, right? Alcohol or no, it's about just trying new things and, you know, seeing how kind of different things interact together to form totally different things. And all the funny, provocative little names of cocktails that we all love. It's all about play. I think that's a great way to frame it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it through that lens. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
So tell me a little about you, and this is your baby, right? Like, you came up with Free Spirits. You want to take us on that journey with you?
Yeah. It's, you know, journey is the right word for it. It's the highs and the lows and the everything's in between. But I really wouldn't change it for the world. And so I think, you know, the short answer on it is, you know, I grew up in South Jersey, right outside of Philadelphia. And I ended up right after school moving to New York City and working in the advertising business. And it was my dream job. And, you know, being the madman thing and, you know, going from kind of what was a provincial little existence to all of a sudden traveling the world and working on big brands and creating Super Bowl spots and all that. But the common thread throughout all of that, whether it was, you know, colleagues or clients or traveling, it was, you know, drinking and a lot of cocktails. And, you know, for me, it became kind of the red thread throughout, you know, this kind of wonderful, but sometimes, you know, a bit too much journey. And, you know, I got about 20 years into my career. You know, I went from being a young pup in New York to than running an agency here in San Francisco. And you know, I achieved what I wanted to achieve. I left the business, and the second I left the business, I was able to kind of gain the perspective of, wow, okay, like every time I was overserved, put it more plainly, every time I was drunk, it was a result of wanting to be in that experience, wanting to be, you know, with great people, having those energetic conversations in a cool place with interesting people, all of that stuff. But, you know, I just kind of got to a place where never once did I intend to go out and think to myself, God, I really want to get drunk tonight. I need more alcohol. And every time I order another cocktail, you do it. And I think, like so many of us do it, because an empty glass sucks,
Yeah.
right? Or a seltzer water sucks. Or some people, myself included, your glass is empty and you don't want to drink anymore. You're like, well, I guess I got to go home. Why do you have to go home? You know? So I think, you know, in the advertising business, we're just kind of trained to ask the absurd question of, well, why is that behavior? And why do people pay 15 bucks sometimes for a cocktail, which is only 3 ounces of liquid, right? You know, are you paying for the cocktail or are you paying for the experience? And I think what I came to is, you know, we as a people, we love experiences and we love premium, you know, experiences with, you know, exciting, fun people. And ultimately, where I go is 100 years of the spirits and generally the alcohol industry saying, hey, if you want to have fun, you got to put alcohol in your body. And, you know, as you'll find about me, I'm not a teetotaler. I'm not anti-alcohol. I still drink, but I reject the, you know, the centuries old and billions of dollars of marketing behind this idea of, great, yeah, you know, you're at a boring party, but then Captain Morgan shows up and everybody's having a great time, right? So, you know, the absurd question is, well, gosh, what if you could have all of that stuff, the great cocktails, the great experiences, you know, all that goes into a great cocktail with, you know, the storied brands of, you know, this distillery from this region and all of that, and get to decide whether you want alcohol in it or not. You know, and it's as simple as that.
Wow. I like this lens, and you're right. It's not just in marketing. Like my whole retail career was around that. And even now I see it in chamber of commerce meetings, networking events. And I hosted something that was non-alc, and one of the business people's like, wow, that's the first time I was at a gathering without alcohol.
Yeah.
And it created a little anxiety, but like surviving it and being around like-minded people like took her one step closer, and it was good for her. So I love that we're changing the lens of that. It doesn't have to be like a peer pressure thing, even though it's part of business.
For sure. I mean, I think we've all come to believe that alcohol is the magic ingredient of great social experiences or more fluid business experiences, interactions and things like that. But I think at the end of the day, what so many people are waking up to is, wow, it's not the alcohol that is the enabler of me stepping out of myself a little bit and, you know, being more outgoing. And the alcohol certainly doesn't need to be the magic ingredient in a great cocktail or a great beer or whatever. So I think it's very much in line with the world, which I think is waking up to, you know, sometimes the fact that these tropes, these things, these expectations that have been around for hundreds of years and everybody's just kind of blindly believed them. Now a lot of us are going, no, maybe that's not true, and we're going to do it our own way.
Love it. I have to ask, is Milano named after you?
No, and it's 100% not. I would never do that, because who wants to drink the spirit of Milano? But
Well,
no,
I do.
the truth behind that is, we name our products the Spirit of Gin or the Spirit of Tequila or the Spirit of Bourbon. And we modeled this after the great Italian aperitivos of the world, like Campari and Aperol. But those are brands, and we certainly couldn't call it the Spirit of Campari. I don't think the Campari people would be very happy with this. And we just looked at really the region in Italy, and the town specifically where a lot of these aperitivos hail from. And Milano is the town where hundreds of years ago many of them were originated and still exist and still get produced. And so I think that was my way of kind of going, it is the spirit of this place that makes all these things that you love.
Well, dang it. Me and my speculation are wrong on that one. Let's find out if I'm right or wrong on the labeling.
Yeah.
So, you recently went through a change, and I meant to bring home one of the older bottles
Yep.
to show the comparison, but you just went through a nice rebrand. Do you want to tell us what that was about?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, when I started the company, it was right at the beginning of the pandemic. And we started with one, call it two SKUs, in earnest. And, we had the gin and we had the bourbon. And on shelf, one's brown and one's clear. And as our product portfolio then went into tequila and Milano and vermouth, all of these other things, differentiation on shelf became really hard. It be, you know, because of our old bottles are very monochromatic, right? They're kind of that elegant, soft-spoken thing that doesn't scream, kind of whispers. And from bottle to bottle to bottle, people were like, "Wait, is that the tequila or is that the bourbon or is that the vermouth?" And ultimately, one of the things we needed to do was create differentiation on shelf. And from my point of view, the brand is really colorful, and I come from a background of creativity, and I just didn't feel like our bottles exuded the kind of colorfulness, diversity, and creativity that existed in the company. And so, what we landed on is, a much more, robust expression. Each one really leaning into, if you'll see on the bottle, there's, the botanical designs on the Milano, that's blood orange. On the tequila, obviously agave. With the bourbon, it's barrels and all of that, and then leading into the colors that kind of most, that honor that spirit the best.
Yep, I was wrong on that one too. So
Okay.
I'm 0-2. So thank you. This is why I needed to talk to you and get a little smarter about this.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I lost my train of thought.
Sorry.
You had said no, you said something good, but I was picturing the old bottles in my head and how I had them. So how did you decide what flavors to expand then? You said you started with gin. Like, is there, I mean, we're as a movement, we're kind of young, so there isn't a lot of data to tell us what's selling. And I don't honestly know that the data is credible enough because of the emphasis and because of it's my understanding that like Nielsen will only do they won't do the individual like a mom and pop bar or whatever, or the bottle shops. Like it isn't caught up yet. So how do you decide what you want to go after?
So we take a bit of a oversimplified approach with the data, with what data is available. And the data that is available is really simple, which is, what are the cocktails that are trending? What are the cocktails people like to drink? And we work backwards from that to make sure that we make spirits that enable people to make non-alcoholic versions of those cocktails, right? And so, obviously tequila is having its day. Vermouth is really having its day. If you think about, the Negroni and the three things that are, needed to make a Negroni: gin, vermouth, and Milano or Campari. And so, really driving towards the ability to, give people both the ability to make non-alcoholic versions of the cocktails they love, and kind of where I go, and some of our most favorite on-premise, bars and restaurant partners, they actually don't do a zero-proof menu. They just have a cocktail menu. And a little, and at the bottom of the menu, there's a little line of text that says, anything you see here, we can make full proof, half proof, or zero proof. You
Really?
know? And that's been my vision from the get-go. It's like it just gets it's as silly as it sounds, it's just giving people that little dial. It's like, I love margaritas, I'm gonna drink them all night. Sometimes it's gonna be full on, and it's gonna be, crazy night. Sometimes it's gonna be half, sometimes it's gonna be none, and you kind of go in between. And that's, I think, really what free spirits in the category in general it allows people to do.
I wasn't going to ask this, but I'm going to because you just raised a point. Are you someone who does that example of, full proof, half proof, zero proof? What are you hearing from whether the final consumer or the bars and stuff regarding pricing strategy? Like, do you hear that objection of, well, if I ain't getting drunk, why am I paying the same price for the experience? Do you run into that much?
We used to, and we still do, but much, much less. When I started the thing, like in 2020, yeah, the comments that you'd get online were like, God, brutal. Like, God, what's the point of this? It's like hiring a hooker for a hug, and all of the awful comments. And really driving at the fact that, oh, it's the same price. And I think, people ascribed the value to the alcohol. And at the end of the day, alcohol, ethanol, is not a valuable commodity. You can go on Amazon and Google it. You can buy a barrel of ethanol for $20. What's valuable is, the care that goes into what ultimately is an agrarian product. Our tequila comes from agave that needs to be, farmed. It needs to kind of go through our process to extract those flavors, ultimately, driving a really innovative category that didn't exist before, right? And so there's so much R&D that goes into it. And I think that what I've observed is that, most of the category, and when I say the category, I mean consumers and the bar trade, they've gotten over that hump. So much so to where, a handful of our, on-premise partners here in California, they charge the same price for a non-alc cocktail as they do for an alcoholic cocktail. Which, again, I think is the right play, because we as humans, if you see something, if you see things that are similar and one is $2 cheaper, the human brain says, well, it must not be as good.
Yeah.
And the reality is that, non-alcoholic cocktails, especially when it comes to pairing with food, it's actually a better experience.
It's true. I was just curious. I don't get that much price resistance, which is the way I brag about it is like you said, the ingredients and the things that go into it being quality. You guys aren't fooling around here. It isn't sugar water. It isn't, like there's some thought to this, which leads me to my next two questions. The final, you had a advertising background. So how did it transition into deciding the flavor profiles? Did you have any experience in that, or were you just a taste tester along the way? What did all that look like?
Yeah, I mean, that's early days. It was literally just making it up. I knew what I liked in a good tequila, for example. I knew that I was a big fan of reposados, and the result of a tequila blanco sitting in a bourbon barrel, for X months or years, whether it's a reposado or an añejo or a super añejo. Ultimately giving those kind of like caramelly, oaky, smoky kind of like, I knew what I wanted. And I think in the advertising business, you're taught to just, make it up. And you realize, I think in life, that we're all kind of making it up a little bit, until you're not. And then one day you wake up and, I could talk to you for the next 5 hours about, the chemistry that goes into, non-alc, and the different kind of flavor delivery systems and preservation systems and interactions of different kind of tinctures and all of that stuff. But I think at the end of the day, you know, the lesson for anybody, even outside the non-alc space, is just don't be, you know, held back by, you know, your own sense that you're not an expert in something, because, you know, the experts are only experts is because they've put in the time. And so, you know, we got fortunate where when we had the idea for the business, it was at the early days of it. And so if I'm honest, the first iteration or two of our bourbon and our gin was fine, but it wasn't awesome. And then the next version was a lot better. And the next version was a ton better, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I think that I don't consider myself, you know, a flavor expert or a non-alcoholic spirits expert. But at the end of the day, I guess that's kind of what I've become just by dedicating, you know, the past 4 years to the craft of it.
That's beautiful. And you reminded me, I must not have been a very good drinker. Cause like I knew a Long Island and I knew my cheap ass wines. Like I would drink wine out of a box, right? Like it was not about the experience or the flavor for me. So you say things and they sound a little foreign language to me. Like I never heard of a Negroni before the non-alc industry.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So this is why I need to have these conversations. So thank you.
Yeah, of course.
As you were talking about the formulation and the flavors, it kind of brought up that the 0.5%. So no, I don't want to know the whole chemistry process and all of that. But if you were me explaining it to a guest and the guest is like, well, why does it have that 0.5 in there? Can you give me some tips on that?
Yeah, for sure. So what you realize early days in this business is that alcohol is not just an intoxicant, right? It's a great preservative. That's why you can put a bottle of bourbon on your shelf for literally 75 years and it'll be fine. But it's also a really good deliverer of flavor across the human palate. You know, one of the other things that's really a good flavor delivery system is sugar. And obviously we don't use a lot of sugar because, you know, nobody wants their gin sweet. And so, you know, with us, when we turn the raw ingredients into tinctures and botanicals and extracts, ultimately there is a really small amount of alcohol that's just what's called a carrier, right? So it basically is the thing that carries that flavor across the human palate. And, you know, similar to non-alc beer, the way the FDA, you know, defines non-alc is anything less than 0.5. And, you know, and there's those people that say, I don't want to have any alcohol. And that's, of course, you know, their decision, and they're absolutely justified in that point of view. But, you know, I think what we all found as an industry was, oh gosh, well, a ripe banana has about 1% alcohol and, you know, bread has alcohol in it and all of that. So, you know, I think for us, especially when you consider, you know, the fact that you're making cocktails, you know, with our stuff, you know, the 0.5, and frankly, our stuff is closer to, you know, a 0.2 or 0.3, you know, is ultimately playing a role in there to make it more flavorful, you know, without delivering any intoxicating effects.
That makes a lot of sense. And to keep it in there to help with the flavors, I never would have known that piece of it. So thank you. And I'm seeing a trend in some of the customers. If they're looking for non-alc, they're kind of looking for healthier options, right? They don't want the sugar as the delivery method, as a, you know, those customers. Oh, that was exciting. I'm trying to think of other questions that had come up. Now that I know that Milano comes from Italy, I feel like my whole world has changed.
I can't tell you how many, you know, news articles refer to the spirit of Milano as, you know, the expression of Milan's, you know, efforts and his self-named yada, yada, yada. I'm like, that's not it. But if you want to go there, sure.
I didn't get it from the press. I just, because I get asked that question a lot. And I'm like, I don't know. But again, I didn't know what a Negroni was. So I figured I was just missing something. And I wrote down, you said Campari. That's what the equivalent
Campari,
Campari.
yeah. And at some point, our products are named, like I said, after the spirit of gin, spirit of bourbon. But that construct is really meant to say it's the spirit of this thing, right? It's in the spirit of this thing. And I see a future where we can do the spirit of St. Louis. So we're doing a special version of our, of a rye for St. Louis or whatever, if there are towns or cities around the world, we're thinking about this next holiday season doing a peppermint schnapps and calling it the Spirit of Joy, right? So really kind of leaning into the ease that that construct gives us to name things.
Oh, and it's funny because I was just looking and I was like, all right, well, we got Milano, and if we can get the tequila a little more yellow, we can have the spirits of the Chiefs when they win the Super Bowl.
Ooh, don't go there.
That's what you reminded me of with St. Louis. You're kind of in that neighborhood. Mylan, is there anything that I haven't asked you about that's important to know, either as a bottle shop person or an ambassador for the industry that you want me to know, and anything important for our guests to know? Those are my.
I think that at the end of the day, yes, we sell non-alcoholic spirits, but really the company and the brand is really captured in the name. And I think that for decades we've been living, as a society that follows certain rules. And like as a kid, if you drank an O'Doul's at a party, people would look at you like you're crazy, like, God, what's wrong with that guy? And I think the movement we're trying to enable and really get behind is the movement that we see, which is wonderful, which is a new generation of people saying, I'm gonna do my own thing because that feels right to me. Getting blind, fall down drunk doesn't feel right to me, but I still love cocktails. Or even if it has nothing to do with cocktails, and this is just, I'm a person that wants to kind of dress a certain way, live a certain way, love a certain way, whatever all those things are, I want to make sure that we as a brand are, doing it, the little things that we can to support those choices and that life.
I love it. Is it true you're in Walmart?
Walmart brought us into about 800 locations at the middle of last year. And so
Congratulations.
we're in with the big boys and we're playing that game, and so far so good. I mean, at the end of the day, I think a lot of people would say, oh, Walmart, why not start somewhere else? But at the end of the day, that's where America shops, and America, is choosing to drink non-alcoholic, cocktails. And so we want to be where, where our customers shop.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I just found out from a customer. I thought that that was kind of cool. Like in some dialogue, they had taken a picture and shown us, and I was like, okay, well, come to my place. I'm gonna sample it, and you need to keep the little guy employed. But I'm just happy. It's I don't know how you feel about. I'm gonna ask you something I didn't plan on asking you. How do you feel about this landscape? And if I'm putting you on the spot too much, you tell me to go pound sand. But so there's you, and then there's the other guys that have spirits. How do you feel through the lens of competition? Do you feel that we're in a competitive place, or do you have some other? I don't want to tell you my answer, but how do you feel about this whole thing? Because we all seem to talk to each other, follow each other's information pages. I mean, if you look at any small bottle shop, 90% of the followers are brands, right? Or vice versa.
It's a really good question. And, I find the experience so far to be, and specifically the community around non-alc, including, I talk regularly to Chris at Monday, or to a whole handful of producers. And I think it's really predicated on the notion that we as an industry have so much more opportunity ahead of us than we do next to us, meaning, the beer industry, right? It's like the beer industry is not growing. The only way Coors Light's going to grow is they're going to, turn to Miller Lite and they're going to try to steal their share. We're just not in that place. The opportunity for us as a business to grow is to grow the category, and the greenfield ahead of us is massive. So for me to try to steal share from Spiritless or Monday or Ritual or any of those guys, it's a fool's errand because there's much more opportunity, in front of us.
Thank you. That's how I feel. I don't feel like it's competition as much of a movement. And the collaboration is going to help us all go faster, and the end guest is going to like what they like anyway. Like, and it's all consumable. So drink up, come back.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really, at the end of the day, that's what brands are for. They help people make decisions. It's like some people are Grey Goose people and some people are, Belvedere people. Why? I don't know. Just something about that brand just, ties. Some people are BMW people and some people are Audi people or Toyota or Honda or like, why is it? It's just something touches something inside somebody and that's it. And so I think we're all building our brands to, kind of identify differently with people. And I think that's the right play for us for sure.
That's beautiful. And do you want to tell us anything about the bird? That's my last official question.
Somebody tells you, you got to get drunk to have fun. You got to give them the bird.
Ah, beautiful. Beautiful. Mylan, I really, really appreciate you being
Yeah,
here.
me too, Bobby. This is awesome.
This really was awesome. And I got a lot of value and a lot of notes. So store opens tomorrow and I'll be sharing my little teasers from our chat. And you'll be out in a couple weeks, and it's going to be awesome.
Very cool. Terrific, Bobby. Thank you for having me. This is great.
Thank you. Hi again, beautiful people. Still me. One other thing I wanted to let you know is I screwed up and I had moved in the background of different podcast providers. And in the process, I lost all my ratings, all my reviews, all my stars and all those things. So I am building from the ground up. So if you found that you enjoyed the show and you want to help support me in a free way that takes about 30 seconds, I would love it. Give me a follow, a rating, a review. Be honest, because I want to make this the best experience for you. But if you can help me in that way, I would greatly appreciate it. Thanks again, beautiful people. Love ya.